Let's start a class. Let's bow and pray in silence. Amen. Hallelujah. In the name of Christ, we commence morning class. Let's all rise and sing hymn 407. 407. Thank God. Let's kneel down and pray together. Ask God to guide us. Please kneel down and pray together. Hallelujah, the name is Christ. We commence the 10th class of Nehemiah. Let's turn to Nehemiah chapter 1. Nehemiah chapter 1. Chapter 1, verse 7. Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 7. We have acted very corruptly against you and have not kept the commandments, the statute, nor the ordinances which you commanded your servant Moses. So far, right, we have studied one another that the chosen people of God sinned greatly against him. So because of this, God allowed the Babylonians to capture them so they become their slave. But this is the last exile from Babylonian. So God wanted to rebuild the wall of Jerusalem. So far, what did they do against God that we have studied so far? What did they do? Intermarriage, right? And then? Usury, right? So this means they take advantage of their own brethren, right? And what else? Yes. So they do not follow God's commandment. So why do you think that, you know, they intermarriage, they took advantage of their fellow brethren, and they did not follow the Sabbath? Why? Why do you think that was? If you read Nehemiah, right? This morning we read chapter 11, chapter 12, right? So this means you're almost finished with the book already, right? So what was the main reason why they act corruptly against God? What was the main reason? Anyone? Yes? What's that? Okay, they didn't hold on to God's promise. Okay. And why they didn't hold on to God's promise? What's that? Yes. That's the main point. All these years, they did not read the word of God. They did not read his law. So this means if you and I want to rebuild the wall of Jerusalem, there's no way we can build it without reading the word of God. Because the word of God will tell us how to build a wall, how wide, how high, how deep. That's why for them, there's no way they can keep God's promise because they don't even know there's a promise. There's no way they can keep God's Sabbath because they don't even know about the Sabbath. Even if they know about it, they would not know how to keep the Sabbath. So quite often for you and I, if you don't read God's word, there's no way we can understand what is right and what is wrong. Now this world, right, becomes so corrupt to the point that what is right no longer is right. They make it become wrong, right? And what is wrong is no longer wrong. They make it become right. So the only way for you and I to continue to follow God's word and God's statute, God's commandment, is to read his word. Let's go to Nehemiah. Chapter 8, verse 2. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 2. So Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly of men and women and all who could hear with understanding on the first day of the seventh month. Verse 3. Then he read from it in the open square that was in front of the water gate from morning until midday before the men, women, and those who could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. So here, during this time, Ezra, right, as a priest, Nehemiah asked him for support. So during this time, he came and in front of everyone, he read the law of the Lord. And because he read the law of the Lord, so many people were listening so closely to the law. So the same thing when you're here for 2 weeks, NYTS. We must listen very closely to the teaching of the Lord. Make sure whoever speak on the pulpit speak according to the Bible. If we be able to say amen to the speaker, speaking the word of God, then we must put it into practice. So when we go home, we use the word of God to transform ourselves. Right? If we come here for 2 weeks, then we just listen to the word of God, then we go back and we don't practice it, you shouldn't even come to NYTS, right? Why? Because if you don't practice it, it's exactly the same way as people who's out there, not here. So practicing the word of God is very important. But we must listen very carefully to the word of God. Quite often for you and I, right, we really must read the word of God more. Even you cannot open the Bible every second, but our minds, our thought should always be on the word of God. Right? Even you're in a shower, right? You think about the word of God and meditate on it, right? Wherever you go, you're in class. Of course, sometimes you occupy, when you're in class, right? But for me, when I first came to Christ, I was still in school, right? But every day that I'm in class, I cannot get the word of God out of my heart, out of my mind, right? Of course, that doesn't mean I don't pay attention in class, right? But the word of God always there in my heart and in my mind. And even now, whatever I do, I always meditate on the word of God, right? Even walking from here to there, right? I think about the word of God. Sometime I'm in a shower, I think about the word of God, right? So always meditate on it, right? Listen very carefully. And then that word sooner or later will become like a powerful seed inside our heart. It will grow and transform. Nowadays, why? A lot of time we commit sin against God. Because we don't really know his teaching. If we know his teaching, for sure, why would you and I sin against God if we know his teaching? So if that is the case, we must go back to reading the Bible more often, right? Chapter 8, verse 5. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was standing above all the people, and when he opened it, all the people stood up. This means they're eager to hear the word of God. My wife, she had a cousin visit last week, right? Her name is Jody, and she's only 14 years old. And she loves to read. So while she's on an airplane, I think she almost finished a 500-page book, right? It's only 3 hours plane ride, right? Then when she's at my place for that whole week, she read like 3-4 books, right? And I tell her, why don't you read the Bible? I tell you, read the Bible, right? And she say, I cannot read it. And we say, why? I said, every time she read the Bible, she fall asleep. But meanwhile, she read all those stupid books, right? Really, books that she read is, it's nothing compared to the Bible, right? But she loves it. She sit there, right, and glued to the book every day, every morning, right? She doesn't watch TV, anything like that. We don't have TV to watch anyway, I have a TV, but we don't have cable and stuff, right? But she's glued, right, to the book. But I keep telling her, read the Bible. She cannot. Why do you think this is? Actually, it's not the first time I have, I know someone. They love to read, but they cannot read the Bible. Just like I have a friend, his name is Toma, right? Toma, and he's Taiwanese, right? And he loved to read. And when the Michael Jackson, the book, him and his monkey, that time he was sleeping his monkey in a special, maybe you guys too young for that, huh? Yeah, there's a book came out, it's like 5-something pages long, right? And one sitting, he finished the whole book. But when I gave him the Bible to read, he didn't read past, in the beginning God created heaven and earth. He couldn't. Why do you think that is? Why do you think that is? Why do you think it's so difficult for people to read the Word of God? If you love reading, you love reading, right? You can read everything else except the Bible. Why do you think that is? Yes, it's Satan, right? Really, it's Satan. Satan tried to stop them from reading. Why? Because the Word of God is the Word of life. If they read the Word of God, they might be enlightened, right? Because the Word of God just like a light that light people's path as they journey in this life. So because of this, Satan don't want us to read. So that's why quite often, you and I at home, if we don't read the Bible, we must really pray to God and ask Him to give us the strength to read the Bible. I always like to share the story about the laziest man in the whole world, right? So this man is so lazy. His wife always worries about him. Why? Because he doesn't know how to feed himself, cook for himself, feed himself. So one day her dad was sick. So she had to go there at least for a whole week, right? And she was so worried that her husband gonna die, right? Why? Because he can't make food for himself. So she had a good idea, right? Before she left, she made him a big donut, right? And she put a donut on his neck, right? Why? Because he's so lazy, he can't get up and get something to eat, right? So she said, look, if you make this donut, and then every day all he has to do is just eat the donut, right? Right? Then he will stay alive. So when she came back home, she found her husband dead. Dead. She was so in shock. She's like, why is he dead? I make him this big donut to eat, right? Because he was so lazy. After he ate the donut in front of him, he's too lazy to turn it, right? So he died from starvation. Yeah, this story is very funny, right? But sometimes we describe our spiritual life to the T, right? That quite often we stay the whole week without reading the Word of God, right? When we say reading the Word of God, you don't need to take the Bible and read it. But sometimes you can listen to the Word of God, right? Audio, right? When you're driving somewhere, put a Bible audio tape on there, right? Nowadays, those things are so cheap, right? You can't even download for free, right? On your MP3, iPhone, whatever, right? You can download all those things. So what I'm saying is that surround yourself with the Word of God, because for sure, Satan surrounded all of you with evil things. If Satan surrounded you with evil things, how can you compete with him? How can you overcome him if we ourselves do not surround ourselves with the Word of God? This is very important, right? So look at verse 8. Chapter 8, verse 8. So they read distinctly from the book in the law of God, and they give the sense and help them to understand the reading, right? See, all this time, right, they didn't, because they haven't read the Word of God for so long, they cannot understand it. So the scribes, right, and the priests must help them to understand the Word of God. And then look at verse 9. And Nehemiah, who was the governor, Ezra the priest and scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, say to the people, this day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the word of the law. Right? No, but I read this, I'm very touched, right? Because the word of God is so powerful. It really allows us, right, to amend our relationship again back with God. So all these people for many years, they don't even know that there's a great promise from God through Moses. They don't even know that they are the true chosen people of God. They don't even know there's the law that they must follow. So because of this, Ezra must read it to them. And when they heard it, what? They wept, right? They cried. Why? Because all this time, they not have kept God's commandment. You can see Nehemiah. We know in chapter 1, why do we spend so much time in chapter 1? Because chapter 1 is the characteristic of Nehemiah. And his characteristic, not only that he outwardly, that he's full of love, right? Not only outwardly he's full of faith. Not only outwardly he prays God, but he practices it in his life. So throughout the whole book of Nehemiah, he put it into practice, just like now. He said, the people who act corruptly against you. Why? Because they have not kept your law, your commandment, your statute. So because of this, he did not just leave it like that. Why? Because repentance is for him, what? For them not to do it again. So because of this, he asked Ezra to read the law to them. Put into practice. And love, right? Throughout the whole book of Nehemiah, Nehemiah shows such love to his fellow brethren, right? Even though Sembalat, right, Tobiah, right, threatened to kill him, he didn't care for his own life. But why would he risk his own life? He could just live in the palace with the king because of his love. So that's why he continued to encourage the brethren. Don't give up. Fight for your parents. Fight for your children. Fight for your people. This is love. And why do you think he pulled the hair out of, you know, those who are, you know, those who intermarried? Because of love. Because he didn't want to be popular, right? Because sometimes when we do things that is not positive, in a sense that when we're using God's word to rebuke and chastise, not everybody gonna like us. Really, not everybody gonna like us. But the love that is from Jesus compels us to do it. Make sure that is the case, right? It's not easy what Nehemiah did, but his character is really good. Why? Because his mind is always with God's people. His mind is always with God. So you and I must do the same thing. So that's why these people, when they heard the word of God, they wept, right? And look at verse 12. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 12. And all the people went their way to eat and drink, to send portion and rejoice greatly, because they understood the words that were declared to them. So in the beginning, actually, they didn't understand the word of God. No wonder they cannot keep God's statute, God's commandment. But now, because they understood the word of God, they rejoice. They rejoice. You know, when I first came to TJC, right? I mean, I read the Bible before, you know, before I came to TJC. But I really could never understand it, right? But the minute God blessed me with the Holy Spirit, when I read the word of God, I remember one time I just opened the Genesis, right? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And I cry. I cry. Why? Because all this time, right? We study different ways how this earth come about, right? To evolution, right? Made to the Great Bang Theory, right? All these things, and you read it, just doesn't make sense to you. But when you read the first verse, first chapter of the Bible, it tells us so clearly, right? God created the heaven and the earth. And then I feel like, wow, thank God, right? It makes so much sense, right? Makes so much sense. So that's why for you and I, of course, we're not going to be able to understand everything in the Bible. But we must pray to God to give us wisdom to understand the Bible and understand the Word of God. If we don't understand the Word of God, you and I cannot stand firm. Let's go to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew 13. Matthew 13. This is the parable of the sower, right? The parable of the sower. How many grounds? How many grounds? How many grounds? Four, right? Four. So out of these four, only one ground that can bear fruit. But this one ground to bear fruit is so important for the next seven parables. Because if you cannot bear fruit, and then how can you be a wheat? You cannot. If you cannot bear fruit, and then you're going to be like just like a leaven, right? Actually, this first parable is so important. It all has to do one thing, understanding the word of God. Remember the first three grounds, right? Why the first one cannot bear fruit? Why? Brother, why?
The first one, right? The first one cannot bear fruit, why?
Why? Brother Joseph, you can help him out. Why? And then when you sow the seed. But what's the main reason why? What's the main reason? Actually in verse 19, right? Chapter 13, verse 19. When anyone hear the word of the kingdom and does not understand it. This is very important, right?
If we do not understand it, then what? Then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. So actually, the wicked one cannot do anything. You understand, right? The wicked one cannot do anything yet. Because if we understand the word of God, if our heart is good, then the word of God is so deeply inside our heart, there's no way Satan can come and snatch out of it. You know, like for me, there's no way anyone could tell me this church is not a true church of God. There's no way. And there's no way that anyone can tell me that when you receive the Holy Spirit, you don't speak in tongue. There's no way. Why? Because it's already deep down inside my heart. The reason I'm in this church, because this church is a true church of God. The reason I'm in this church, because we have the true Holy Spirit. Truly, I will confess it until I die. Why? Because it's deep down inside my heart. There's no way Satan can take it out. He cannot. But if you and I truly do not understand it, right? Do not understand this is the only true church. If we don't understand truly the promised Holy Spirit abide in our church, then we don't understand it, then it's easy for Satan to come and snatch out of it. So understanding is so important. And the most important thing is our hearts. Really, it's our hearts. When we understand the word of God, and then we can bear fruit. And look at the second reason, right? The second land, the second ground. Why the second ground cannot bear fruit? Why? Why? Verse 20, right? Verse 20. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Verse 21. Yet he has not root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation and persecution arise because of the word, immediately he stumbles. You know, quite often when I evangelize the people, right? Just like last week when I was in Houston. So we speak about the word of God. And the truth seeker came, they got very excited, they want to be baptized, right? We're excited. So many people feel, baptize them. Because in the beginning, right, in the book of Acts, there's only one church. And the 3,000 that were baptized, they were devout Jews. No wonder they baptized them right away. But nowadays, there's thousands of doctrines. There's thousands of denominations. So we must allow them to understand the word of God. If they don't understand the word of God, if they don't believe our teaching, then they are not ready to be baptized. As simple as that. Why? Not because we don't love them. Because baptism, only one time. Only one time. And they must know what they're getting into. And quite often when I have true seeker class, I always tell them, if you don't believe in our doctrine 100% sure, don't be baptized. Don't be baptized. Why? Because if you don't believe, right, that we're only one true church, if you don't believe there's one true God, if you don't believe in Holy Communion, foot washing, right, Holy Spirit, baptism, you cannot be baptized. Why? Because if you don't truly believe and root it inside your heart, then you just leave the church and go anywhere else. Then what? Then spiritually you will die. But it's our responsibility. But sometimes even though, we take 6 months a year to teach them the doctrine, it doesn't mean they're not going to leave the church, but at least our conscience is clear, right? We don't just baptize anyone. Why? Because they must, they need to know what they get themselves into. Many other churches, yeah, you want to be baptized, fine. But afterward, you want to be baptized out of church, it's fine, right? No, you can only be born again one time. And make sure this one time is correct. Why? Because this one time you are born of God. When you are born of God, you cannot just go and live like the people in the world. You must live according to God. This is very different, brothers and sisters, right? So when we're talking about, look, these people were in the stony places. Yes, they receive with joy, but that's only the beginning. We praise and thank God. But they must be rooted themselves in the Word of God. You know, this year is my 13 years coming to NYTS, right? 13 years.
And I think back, like, wow, time goes by so quickly, right? I remember my first NYTS, Pastor Huang always be yelling at me, right? Because I'm always telling jokes, right? He's like, stop joking around, right? Let people not focus on God, right? And he was right, right? But I didn't know any different. I just came to Christ, right? But 13 years, why do you think? In the beginning, especially when I, you know, started to come to TJC, because I really want to root myself in the Word of God. Right? And every SC they have, right? Because Boston didn't have a church back then. We always drive up here, right? Down here, right? Because I want to root myself, my wife and I, the same thing. And thank God, right? We met many wonderful brothers and sisters, right? Just like Ted and Rick, right? You see, many years, they're still the same, right? They're zealous, right? They're rooted, they serve God, right? That's how they are since I met them, right? Really, when I see them, my heart feels very joyful, right? Because they are so rooted, they stay the same, the character is the same, right? They're always full of zeal, right? Full of love, right? Even though sometimes they feel very tired, but they always, you know, the first thing you do, they greet me, we say hi, we talk about the old times, right? Right? It's very nice to have that kind of feeling, but what happened if all of you, right, 10 years from now, 13 years from now, most of us are gone? Would be very sad, right? So root ourselves in the Word of God. And look at the third ground, right? Now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word and cares of the world, and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word and becomes unfruitful. So here, first, did it bear fruit? The third ground, did it bear fruit? Did it bear fruit? You sure? Huh? Yes. Where did it say it bear fruit? In the Bible, right? Where? You always give me the right answer, but you can give me the right verse too, right? Okay. Let's see. Let's go to Luke. Luke. Luke chapter 8, right? Luke chapter 8, verse 4. Luke chapter 8, verse 4. Verse 14. Luke chapter 8, verse 14. Now the ones that fell among thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasure of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. Right? Bring no fruit to maturity. So what does this mean? What does this mean? Yes, it bears fruit. Right? But this fruit, because it's been choked by the thorns, right? So it cannot become mature. So because of this, you cannot do anything with the fruit, right? When I went to Africa, the most interesting to me is that people are always starving, right? But they cannot eat green mango. Green mango. I was so surprised. So, you know when the only time they eat mango off the tree? You know when? Huh? When? It's very interesting. Only when it falls off the tree by itself. Right? And for some reason, mango always fall at nighttime, right? So at nighttime, when the mango, you can hear it, right? Because you sleep, you can hear it fall. Then you can hear all the footsteps running, right? To go get the mango to eat, right? And they were like, why don't you eat green mango? For them, it's like poison, because it's not ripe. But for me and Pastor Cole, we just eat it like crazy, right? Because we're hungry, right? And for them, they thought we were like, you know, amazing, right? That our stomach, you know, nothing happens up to our stomach. And they cannot eat green mango at all, right? Because their stomach is not used to it, right? But actually, spiritually speaking, yes, if you bear fruit, but if this fruit does not come to maturity, you cannot eat it. When you eat it, it's very bitter, right? It's very bitter. And most of the fruit, when it's not mature, is so sour, right?
bitter, sour, and sometimes it's sappy. What is that? Persimmons, right? Yeah, persimmons not mature. Yeah, you put it in your mouth, that's it, right? It's disgusting, right? Sappy and very bitter, right? So that's why he is talking about here. So if you and I, right? The most important thing is, let's go back to Matthew chapter 13, right? Chapter 13. So the first ground, the second ground, the third ground. Or the first three grounds could not bear fruit. And the reason why it could not bear fruit, because of the ground. Not because of the word. Not because of the sower. Because of the ground. So in other words, you and I really must till our ground. And how can we till our ground? We just use the word of God. The word of God really can till our ground. Continually to read the word of God. Continue, 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 right? But look at verse 23. But he who receives seed on the good ground, and then is he who hears the word and understands it. Remember the first ground. The reason it cannot bear fruit because it cannot understand it. But here tell us the first reason why the fourth ground can bear fruit because it can understand it. Right? What about in Mark 4:20? Let's go to Mark 4:20. Mark 4:20. But these are the ones sown on a good ground, those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. So the second reason why the fourth ground be able to bear fruit because of what? Because of what? The second reason, first, because the good ground understand it, right? It bears fruit. What the second? The second reason. Second reason. Accept it. I mean, accept it, this means you put it inside your heart, you accept it, right? You don't leave it outside. So this means the ground, if it's hard, right? If it's stony, then you're not be able to accept it. So here, be able to accept it. But your ground must be good. If your ground is a stony ground, you cannot accept it. Even if it tries to root itself, it cannot. Why? Because it's on a rock, it's on stony ground, right? Of course, there's some kind of special plant, right, that can only grow on rocks, right? There's some Hawaii plants, right? All they do is grow on rock, the root is on rock, right? That's it, right? No dirt necessary, right? But our hearts are not like that, right? Our hearts are not like that. And let's go to Luke. Let's go to Luke. Chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. Verse 15. Luke chapter 8, verse 15. Luke chapter 8, verse 15. But the ones that fell on the good ground are those who haven't heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. So the same ground, first it understands it, second it accepts it, and third it's what? Keep it. Keep it. This means even though the thorn tried to choke us, right? But it would be to keep the fruit to maturity. You know, I just planted a pear tree in my backyard, right? And one day just a great wind just go by, right? And all the little fruit all fell. And then of course it cannot grow anymore. If it fell, that's it, right? I was sad, right? Because I was thinking, you know, I'm gonna get pear next year, right? But now it's all dead already, right? Why? Because the wind took it and just, you know, it just fall off the tree. So quite often, right, if you are a gardener, you know, you don't want to plant any kind of fruit tree, right, or berry trees next to something that's very thorny, right? Why? Because the thorn will occupy everything, right, and choke it and it cannot grow, right? And then even if you want to eat it, you cannot put your hands there, right? Because, you know, the thorn will pierce you, right? So here, when we go back to Matthew, right, chapter 13, the most important thing about this parable is the heart, is the heart. The first heart, the first ground, they cannot understand it. So we read the word of God, we cannot understand it. What must we do? We must pray. We must pray so our heart can become soft. So every word can come inside our heart. And second is stony places. Of course, if the stony places, you cannot accept it, right? Cannot accept the seed. Any stony place cannot accept the seed that's being grown. And the third, the thorny places. Even though it bear fruit, but you cannot keep it. Why? Because it's the pleasure of the world, the riches of the world will choke and then it will bring fruit no maturity because it will fall off. But the fourth ground, this is you and I. We must read the word of God. We understand it. When we understand it, Satan cannot take it away. You know, quite often Satan is very clever, right? When I first came to Jesus, every time he come to me, I always cast him out, right? In the name of Jesus, right? I would yell out, hallelujah, in the name of Jesus, right? And then several times later, I tried to yell hallelujah. What does he do? He covered my mouth. I could not say hallelujah, right? And then guess what I did? Huh? I just think in my head, hallelujah. It's the same thing in the spirit. You don't need to speak it out, right? But for him, that's why I'm saying, if the word of God is deep down inside your heart, no matter what, Satan cannot stop us. Satan cannot snatch out of us. Yes, he can cover my mouth, but he cannot cover my mind. He cannot cover my heart. Why? Because when I say hallelujah in my head, what are you going to do? How are you going to stop it? He cannot. That's why one time I was in Garden Grove Church, right, in the pastor's room. And during the time we just study about, you know, the word of God, right? The word of God is the full armor of God. So when I went home, I fell asleep. Then I was thinking to myself, what does it mean the whole armor of God is the word of God, right? I was thinking about that. When I fell asleep and all of a sudden Satan came right below my feet. And this time a voice said to me, don't cast it out. Just don't cast it out. And this, you know, usually I just cast it out, but say, don't cast it out. Then the other time I just meditate on the word of God, right? Because the voice just tell me, meditate on the word of God. So during that time, I just think of all the verses in the Bible I know, right? Just go in my head. When I thought about it, I feel this power go through my head. And then I feel the word of God saturate my body, right? And every time the word become deeper, deeper in my body, and Satan is standing, it's all shaking like this. Then the minute it become halfway, Satan is gone. Why? Because if you and I have the word of God inside our hearts, saturated through our whole body, Satan cannot do anything. Right. Yes, he will bully us, right? Satan is like a bully, I'm telling you. He come and make you scared, this and that, right? But you know, when he come before you, he's so scared, I'm telling you. Why? Because we have the Spirit of God. He is so scared. He's much more scared than we are scared of him, I'm telling you. But of course, when we sin against God, yeah, we become very scared, right? When Satan show up, right? So that's why when Jesus walked, everywhere he goes, all the demons, they yell and scream, right? Don't torment us, right? Why? Because Jesus filled with God's Spirit. The same thing for you and I. Right? But that word must be deeply inside. When the word is deeply inside our heart, no matter how Satan tried to trick us, right, to commit sin against God, it always come up. It's always come up, right? Really, it's like this. Should be part of our lives, right? Part of our life. So make sure our heart can understand the word of God. If we don't understand the word of God, how would we accept it? We cannot accept it. And if we cannot accept the word of God, how can we keep it? We cannot keep it. This all a progression, right? First, we must understand it. So that's why the Israelites, the Jews, they wept and they cried. And then after, they were so joyful. Well, because all those times they have no idea what they need to do according to God's will. But after Ezra read the law to them, they realized this is what we must do. And then they understood what the thing they must do. Then they went home joyfully, right? They went to eat, they went to drink. Why? Because knowing the word of God, knowing his will, and doing according to his will, it brings us so much joy. You know, for me as a minister, when I become sad inside my heart, is a time I don't do according to God's will. It's all make you feel, just you don't feel right. But when you do what is right in the Bible, then your heart feels so joyful. So let our heart always be joyful. Read the Word of God and understand it and practice it so our heart will always be full of joy. For me, the most exciting thing to do in my life, right? Really, even though I play sports, right? And then latest thing I do, I play golf, right? Yeah, golf is exciting, right? But for me, the most exciting thing to do is study the Word of God with brothers and sisters. Really, when I study the Word of God, it doesn't matter how I feel physically, but when I study the Word of God, I always feel so joyful, right? I feel energetic. I feel so exciting, right? Because I realize that only the Word of God can bring me true joy inside my heart, right? So may the Word of God always move you and bring you always joy when you study His Word and read His Word. Let's bow our head and pray in silence. Amen.